to the very first episode of Core Ideas, a podcast about paleontology, the science of reconstructing the paleoenvironments of inland waters. We are your co-hosts. I'm Adam Jeziorski.
And I'm Josh Thien-Pont.
And we are both have a background in paleontology. I'm currently a scientist working in the Pearl Lab at Queen's University. And Josh?
I am a sessional or limited term assistant professor in the Department of Geography at York University. And mostly I do teaching, but my research also looks at paleo work primarily in the north.
So the goal of this podcast is simply to have a series of conversations about paleontology. We both have some academic expertise in the subject, and hope that through a series of casual discussions about topics that are largely of interest to the two of us, we'll also have some appeal to a broader audience out there that have an interest in limnology and just environmental sciences in general.
Yeah, and I guess the idea just over time we'll talk about things that come up that are interesting, things that we're interested in terms of the science and our experience with it and field work and all these different things. So there's lots of topics that we intend to move through over the course of the first few episodes, and then lots of potential to see where it goes into the future.
So I guess before we get into topics of historical significance, general methods, how paleo is able to address issues of general public concern, like the big guns of acid rain and climate change, need to kind of begin with the basic definition. So Josh, what is paleolimnology?
It's a hard one, right? I mean, this is, how many times have you been asked what it is you do for research? And a lot of people would say they're paleolimnologists maybe, and they get that question, but I think there'd be a fair few people who would say that they're biologists or ecologists or freshwater ecologists or geographers or physical geographers. Like, there's so many different components of what it is that makes you a paleolimnologist. It really is a synthetic science. So I guess at the most core part of the definition, it's using lake sediments to reconstruct past environments in aquatic ecosystems, particularly inland freshwater ecosystems. But what would you say? What would be your answer to that question?
I think I would come at it from a more methodological kind of line, because principally I'm getting those questions from family members and friends as opposed to someone with a more vested interest in paleo. So it kind of began with the whole idea of lakes filling in over time. So those lake sediments provide an archive of stuff around the lake through time. And
someone we know might say that they build up 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Pages of a book.
All the time building up. And exactly. That's the next step.
And then depending on what you're interested in, which even in my own career so far has varied quite a bit, you're able to isolate remains or indicators within the sediments to answer questions about how things have changed through time. And
the diversity of those indicators is such a huge part of that story, and that both of us have a kind of classical interest in biological indicators, but there's so much in the mud.
Oh, absolutely. And just following on how I'd answer the question, I'd always bring up, I've got a very Canadian bias, live in Canada, I've worked 100% of my professional career has been in Canada. So you're looking at to a, 10,000 year record potentially, depending on any lake, but usually the kind of stuff I'm interested in is more anthropogenic. So I'm looking at stuff that's really changed over the last 150, 200 years since industrialization got underway. And so really I cut my teeth in my grad work looking at the legacy of acid rain and use that as a starting point. And what can you look in the sediments to answer questions about acid rain? And in my case, that's been invertebrate remains.
For sure. And I started out, and I guess in a similar kind of context in terms of the temporal perspective and looking at recent changes and more temperate locations. And I've kind of added on a little bit more interest in longer term records, not necessarily full Holocene records, but getting past where a gravity core, which we'll obviously get to talking about those differences at some point, but what a gravity core can tell you. And then when I left Queens and went on to doing more chemical remains and got really interested in some of the chemical indicators that can be found in the sediment. So there's just such an amazing amount of stuff that you can work on and still be a paleolimnologist. So that makes it an interesting definition and a really one of those sciences that you know, there's a reason you can do a whole podcast on paleolimnology, is because there's so much there. There's so many different things you can answer in terms of environmental questions and so much material just to talk about.
Absolutely. And so that's why this podcast is going to exist, because I like talking. I like paleo. Here we are. But really, key things to keep in mind going forward, it's going to be a pretty casual discussion of technical topics. We're, you know, interested in talking to a general audience out there rather than just it being the paleo nerds talking to other paleo nerds and getting at, you know, why we find this field interesting and, you know, what are the cool and really interesting kinds of questions it can answer. And there's been a whole bunch of this that has been done historically, meant kind of like touched on very earlier how important paleo was during like the acid rain debates of the 1980s, and you know how it has played a role in discussions related to climate change today, and lots of other things related to human impacts, whether it's, you know, recovery from mining impacts or paleo flood events. Like there's a long, long list of stuff we can go down and hope to breaking down into bite-sized, interesting, single-topic discussions going forward.
I'm sold.
Excellent. You'll get your money's worth. And yeah, and again, we both did our graduate school in Canada, and so we'll have a very strong Canadian bias in terms of where our interests are and what we are most familiar with, but it won't be only Canadian stuff, but it's just going to be heavily...
I can't talk about it just now, but I may be planning a trip to Norway this year for some field-related work, so that would be my first time of doing any sampling outside. It's a little hush-hush right now, but... We'll talk about it when it's a little more official and closer to the actual date. So it'd be my first time sampling any lake outside of Canada.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, no, my experiences outside of Ontario have been incredibly limited. Covered a large swath of Ontario, but...
like almost every lake in southern Ontario, pretty much, in a more recent survey.
Yeah. Well, I was only a small... component of a massive research effort, I've been around within Ontario's borders and then a little bit out on the east coast, but that's about it for me. No international ventures on my end yet.
Yeah, well, none to speak of yet, but that's an exciting possibility in the future. But yeah, most of my experience started out in Nova Scotia as an undergrad, and then did a little bit in Ontario, but for other people's work, including work with Adam, is probably when we first got to know each other. And then all of my personal research from grad work and since has been in the Northwest Territories and a little bit in Alberta.
Alrighty then. So just, you know, this is very much an introduction episode and a teaser for where we hope to go over the next little while. So we're going to be talking about some of the key developments and groundbreaking studies that have been performed in paleolimnology, and also a little bit on the personal side of who are the scientists responsible and what led them to where they are, kind of a science and society kind of angle. It's like, how did paleo emerge, and key things with environmental reconstructions is like the timing of like personal computers becoming available and like that kind of stuff has always been of interest to me.
And yeah, I'm interested in exploring where these people's background were, because I'm always, as a person who did his grad work and undergrad and all my formal degrees in biology and now has spent most of my time in geography, one of the things I found most interesting is just how diverse the sample of people who come into paleolimnology is. So I'd be interested in thinking about whether that's always been the case or whether there's a strong geology focus and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think that would vary depending on what angle you're looking at, because a large element would be it's a relatively young science, and you get much earlier than our own supervisors, and before you wouldn't really have people necessarily describing themselves as paleolimnologists.
For sure, yeah, and that's something that we could definitely consider when paleolimnology was born, so to speak, in that historical discussion. And it probably would have, well, I mean, there definitely is sort of a maybe formal answer related to the International Paleolimnology Symposia, which are, I don't know, I'm not even sure what number we're at now, but there's lots of work that would be now called paleolimnology that existed even before that.
And then also, I'm quite interested in talking about the ability of paleolimnology to inform current and future environmental issues. Of course, the big elephant in the room in terms of all kind of environmental discussions is climate change. But this is very much rather than an esoteric study of small invertebrates in the mud, like these findings can have
real world implications for this.
Yeah, absolutely. All kinds of real world applications. And whether or not they're used is a separate story, but definitely able to inform the debates going forward.
That I think that's one of the things about paleo that it is a nice thing is that you can answer those interesting questions about broader topics of global significance using paleo techniques at the same time as answering esoteric questions about the biology of zooplankton. And it's all in the interpretation and how you send that information out to the people who are interested in it.
Absolutely, because that's what drew me in is in the first place is the big picture elements of it, as well as the nitty-gritty of the absolute question you're trying to answer, but just very easy, even at a fairly early stage in terms of your own research of seeing how your little piece of the puzzle can fit into the big picture in many ways. And I always thought that was a really cool aspect of paleo and why I'm still in it today.
For sure. I think it draws students in quite quickly. This is certainly the perspective I've had from the students I've worked with is that you can very quickly. It's not something that has, I mean, there's obviously a learning curve, and we can talk about all of the things that go into that sort of from a method perspective. But in terms of asking questions that are on the exact same level as someone who's been doing the research for 10, 20, 30 years, you're right there from the beginning. You know, this, the undergrad I have is working on a core that was no different than my PhD in terms of the kind of questions being asked. So, you know, he's super keen on that related to really important questions at a very early, relatively speaking, perspective.
And again, in addition to the technical interests, I'm also quite interested in the tools and how what paleolimnology has been using has changed through time. And the big one where it's massively changed through time, even in just like the 15 or so years I've been on the scene, has been on the availability of computer software and computing power and the statistical end of things and how that has impacted just the science in general, but also talk a bit about the development of sediment cores, the importance of microscopy and developments there going forward in terms of paleo. And that really lends itself into our own personal insights in the world of paleolimnology because we're looking at a big science from our own very small corners.
Yeah, I think we'll learn something. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the game. You definitely get focused on your own little section of it. And there's a big body of literature and research and information and topics out there that we can dive into. And we'll gain a little bit of knowledge along with whoever is listening in.
Our moms.
Yeah, mostly. Yeah.
And also,
as long as we keep them short, I don't think my mom will listen for 45 or 50 minutes. Sorry, mom, if you're listening to this one.
And I think as we go forward, I think it'd also be cool to make use of the podcast medium to go beyond like a lectury kind of or kind of content that'll be covered within lectures and actually, you know, do some interviews with some of the people that we have access to within the field, especially like my own supervisor, John Small, who I think would have a lot of cool insights that could be put into audio form.
After he made fun of us for being nerds for doing this, absolutely, he would have lots of interesting things to say.
Yeah, small price to pay. I know I'm a nerd.
Yeah, exactly. And he knows it too. So, but others too. There's lots of people who we could strong arm into saying some hopefully interesting things on different from a different perspective on all the different topics. So I think there's lots of potential for different voices than ours to grace the Core Ideas podcast.
And I think another element of what I'm interested in is, you know, you read so much about, I guess, hashtag SciComm, science communication, outreach, you know, getting outside of the ivory tower. And recently, John was showing a survey within the lab of, like, how trusted by the public the scientists are in terms of various other, I don't know what the word would be, categories of elites, I guess.
Experts. Yep. Experts.
Within society. And my very naturally cynical response to that was, well, that's only because scientists never really say anything. And, you know, maybe that could change, but who knows? But this is kind of almost like an exercise of approaching or trying to reach a general audience talking about, you know, one type of science in a casual way. Maybe it'll be useful, maybe it won't, but...
If nothing else, it is practice for us at the same thing, because that is a science or a skill that has to be practiced in exactly the same way as taking sediment cores or looking through a microscope. And if it's picked up by even a few people in terms of one episode or the other, hopefully there's a tidbit to be taken away from each and every one of them, that even if you are one of those converted people who are an expert in the field, that it may not be the general audience, that you could enjoy as well.
Okay, so there we are. That's who we are, what we want to do, where we hope to go in the future. I think that might be a good way to bring the episode to an end. Yeah, not a bad place
to finish the first episode. I don't think I have anything else really pressing from a perspective other than what are we looking at doing for the next episode? Do we have a lead into what will be episode two? This one was, well, I don't know. We're not thinking of this going to be a super long form medium. This episode's now maybe 20 minutes or something a little bit around that range, which is probably a little bit shorter than the average. I think we're aiming for in the 30, 45 minute range, something like that. But what can we look forward to in the near term? We talked about a few interesting topics long term that we want to explore, but what's kind of on deck for episode two in particular, maybe episode two and three moving forward?
Well, what I've been thinking going forward was, maybe not, we want to build on that definition of paleolimnology a little bit with some real groundwork in terms of what the podcast is going to be about in a more general way, but we have to start at the beginning. And so a little bit on what bioindicators are and what bioindicators are out there, what bioindicators are used for what kind of questions. And then the other big one I think that is really foundational to all work in paleo is the dating of the sediments. How is that done? What are the limitations? When does it work? When doesn't it work? You know.
For sure. Yeah, depending on the time scale and all those different things, it's the question that you often get asked the most from a general audience perspective. I think I don't find people have a hard time extending belief to the fact that little things live in the water, and when they die, they end up in the bottom of it, and then they can stay there for a long time. But how the heck you know that 10 centimeters down was approximately, you know, 1895 is something that is a little bit more challenging for some people. So I think that'd be a good place to start. And then maybe the last one in the first, we'll call it the triad, the three of them, would be how we take sediment cores in different perspectives, because that can be an important part of setting the time scale as well. Not quantitatively, but from a functional perspective.
I think collectively those three, if we chop those up into three general topics and kind of explore a little bit, that'd be a good starting point to go into more, you know, off the wall, more esoteric applied stuff.
Optics.
Yeah.
Yep, for sure. No, it sounds like a plan.
All right.
And again, if you're waiting every Monday to have one of these things published, you're probably going to be a little disappointed. They're not maybe as scheduled as some of the podcasts you might know and love on your favorite podcast server, but we'll try and work through a few of these a month, I guess, is probably our range we're working for, sitting here in the basement on a Sunday evening, in my case, recording that amongst all the other things that have to go on in day-to-day lives. I'm excited about this.
Yeah, it's a fun, I think this will be fun project. Just touching base, talking about nerdy stuff on a Sunday evening. I'm down.
That's it. Sounds like a plan.
All right. So we'll wrap it up here. And we would thank the few brave souls that have actually listened to this and that we hope that you tune in again soon. So
that's right. Catch you then.
Catch you later.